Good morning. Greet each one in Christ's precious name this morning. Glenn said he had about 50 songs. Would have been all right with me if he'd have kept on going. But we're here to fill our role here. So for a message this morning, for a title, I have Practical Lessons on Forgiveness. The subject that we want to look at this morning on forgiveness is a very important one. You know, the Bible has a good many things to say about forgiveness, and there's a good many books out there written on forgiveness. And our subject this morning is about forgiving others and dealing with the hurts and the offenses that come to us. And this morning we want to learn about the necessity of forgiving and how to practice forgiveness. For a text, turn with me to Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is one of the reasons that forgiveness is so necessary. You know, if we can't forgive someone that has wronged us, God will not forgive us. You know, instead, our sins will be stacked up against us, and the pile will keep growing higher and higher. You know, this morning, forgiveness is a choice, but there is no other option for the Christian. Dictionary definition for forgiveness reads like this: to give up the wish to punish or get even with, not have hard feelings toward, pardon, passing over an offense without punishment, excuse, to give up claim, to not demand payment for. Forgiveness and unforgiveness affects all of us. You know, we weren't very old until we needed to learn to forgive. And if you want some practical lessons on forgiveness, just watch your children. You know, we can learn a lot by just watching them. You know, even though they have disagreements and they may fight with each other, you know, they soon get over it, and they're back to playing with each other. They are not like us adults. You know, sometimes we can hold grudges for a lifetime. First point I have is things will happen that you will need to forgive. And you can turn to Matthew 18, verse 7. Things will happen that you will need to forgive. Matthew 18, verse 7. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to the man by whom the offense cometh. You know, it's just a fact of life that we need to accept and expect. Offenses will come. You know, people will sin against us. And when this happens, then we'll be tempted to sin also. You know, we live in a fallen world, and none of us are perfect. You know, and even the most perfect person on the earth needs to be forgiven sometimes. You know, sometimes I need to forgive you, and sometimes you need to forgive me. The last part of the verse that I just read says, "But woe to the man by whom the offense cometh." You know, we're not to be careless with our words and our actions, because God will hold us accountable for them. And I believe we do need to repent when we have done wrong. I don't plan to talk much about the one who has caused the offense. Our subject this morning is dealing with the one who has been hurt or dealt wrongly with, and how they need to forgive. When people sin against us, which is what Jesus was talking about, or even on a smaller scale, when people may unintentionally hurt us, you know, it makes it an occasion for us to easy stumble. And our response to that offense will have an effect on our spiritual life. You know, Jesus did not excuse the offender. But I believe my response to any given offense will have more of a bearing on how that instance will affect me long term than the offense itself. Someone has said, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% is your attitude toward it. Now this may be, it's probably a little overstated, but it is more true than not. You know, virtually any experience in life can make us bitter if we don't deal with it right. Every situation is going to cause feelings within us. And those feelings may be, you know, injustice, you know, our mistreatment, our life isn't fair. If not forgiven, yesterday's feelings are carried over into today, and they accumulate for weeks and sometimes years. My response will definitely be the deciding factor as to whether I will allow what has happened to me make me bitter or better. The question is not whether I've been hurt or offended. The question is, what am I doing about it? Second point I have is, what is forgiveness? It's a question, what is forgiveness? The first one, forgiveness is a choice. You know, it's something that I decide to do, or I decide not to do. And a true Christian must forgive, and he can forgive when he chooses to. You know, some people say, I just can't forgive. Well, I believe the problem is not that they can't forgive. The problem is that they don't want to forgive. And I don't want to make it sound like forgiving is always easy. Sometimes it is very hard for us to do. And it is contrary to our nature. Second one I have is, forgiveness is a commandment. You know, forgiveness is not a suggestion. It's a commandment. And the wonderful thing is, God will never require anything of us that he will not give us the strength and grace to do. When God saves us, you know, he plants within us the power to forgive. And there are many verses that we could look at on forgiveness. I'll look at maybe just a few. Ephesians 4:32, you don't need to turn to that. We all probably know that by heart. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3, turn to Colossians 3, verse 13. Colossians 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against you, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I believe the key to helping us to forgive others is to remember how much God has forgiven us. You know, we all have been forgiven so much. Turn to Matthew 18, verses 23 to 35. I think I'm going to take the time to read this. I recognize this passage as the unmerciful servant. I'm going to take the time to read this. Matthew 18, verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take an account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet, and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You know, this story is mind-boggling. You know, here we have a servant that owed his Lord a huge amount of money. And I had problems coming up with the dollar figure. There were varying opinions. One commentary said it was no less than $12 million. Whatever the figure was, it was more than he would ever have been able to pay off. But his Lord forgave him his debt. Then he goes to someone that owed him a whole lot less money, grabs him by the throat, and demands payment. Well, when the man couldn't pay, he threw him in prison. The one commentary said the debt ratio that his servant owed his Lord and what this man owed this servant was like $1 to $1 million. Well, we know the rest of the story, how the Lord became very angry with him for not having compassion and mercy on his fellow man. And I believe Christ told this story to show us the seriousness of not forgiving. Did you catch verse 35? I'm just going to read verse 35 again. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. You know, we are the servant who was forgiven that huge debt. You know, we were hell-bound without Christ's forgiveness. I think each one of us, you need to ask ourselves the question, you know, how are we forgiving others? Third point I have is forgiveness is releasing the offender. Matthew 18, verse 27 says, "The Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." You know, he loosed him. You know, that's what we call release. You know, setting them free. I believe the biggest reason that we struggle sometimes with forgiveness is because it's so hard for us to release the offender to God. You know, in our hearts, we'd like to see that person get what we feel he really deserves, or what would be just punishment. And some of us would be more than happy probably to carry out those punishments. Some of you may have suffered some pretty hard blows in your life, but I want to assure you this morning that there is nothing too big for God to handle. You know, for most of us, our hurts are relatively small to what Christ suffered. And even compared to the suffering of many others in this world, just think of some of the sufferings in the war-torn areas across the world. You know, and those suffering from persecution. You know, I was never beaten or thrown into prison. You know, I don't have family members that were killed or are taken from our home because of their faith in God. You know, our church houses were not burned. You know, I don't carry some gruesome scars from torture, nor am I missing any arms or legs by some cruel act of terror. Well, think about that. You know, if I can't learn to forgive those who caused me much less suffering, how would I be able to forgive some of those much larger offenses? Well, no matter how large or small the offense, we are going to need to release the offender. And this is something that we should do right away. You know, when we release the offender, in reality, we are also releasing ourselves. You know, we are free because our conscience can be free. You know, and we're free to think loving and wholesome thoughts about the other person. You know, on the other side, when we hold someone captive in our minds, you know, we really are the captive. A quote came across, "Unforgiveness is the poison we drink, hoping others will die." You know how it is when you harbor bitter attitudes toward someone. You know, you cannot meet them without thinking of it. You may watch them carefully. You know, almost everything they do and say, you see through your bitter lenses. And, you know, they can't do or say anything right. You know, you end up being miserable. And you may be able to do a good job of hiding it most of the time. But remember, sometimes something will happen and you will lash out. in unforgiveness, in an unguarded moment. And it may not even be to the person that you have not forgiven. I believe unforgiveness and bitterness make us become short-tempered and short-fused, as we sometimes say. Turn to Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. I believe there's a reason that the Bible says this. You know, when someone does something that hurts us, we're left with a choice. And the choice is to forgive or to get bitter. You know, no one can make us bitter. That's a choice. That is our choice by how we choose to respond. If we choose not to forgive, the devil will do a good job of planting bitterness in our hearts. And no one can harbor any degree of unforgiveness in their hearts without becoming bitter. That's just how it is. And just a verse or two down, Ephesians 4:31, I believe, shows us a progression of bitterness. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. You know, bitterness grows into wrath. Wrath grows into anger. When anger bursts forth, out comes clamor and evil speaking. And then the next step is malice. And malice is a desire to harm someone. Hatred. And hatred has caused many a person to do something they never dreamed that they would do. There's many people have been murdered because of hatred. And most of us would say, well, I'd never go that far. Well, hopefully not. But just remember, 1 John 3:15 says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. You know, let's never underestimate how far the devil will take you. I came across a quote, reads like this: unforgiveness will take us farther than we had planned to go, keep us longer than we had planned to stay, and cost of us more than we had planned to pay. Let me just read that again. Unforgiveness will take us farther than we had planned to go, keep us longer than we had planned to stay, and cost of us more than we had planned to pay. I believe that's why it is so important that we forgive right away. Because anytime we fail to forgive, it plunges us into a downward course. I believe a snare the devil uses to keep people from forgiving is the idea that you don't have to forgive until the offender ask for forgiveness. And it would probably do us good to ask ourselves the question, you know, why do we want an apology? Is it because it gives us some satisfaction that the other person realizes that he's wrong? Well, if that's why we wanted an apology, that's a wrong motive. There are times that the offender will need to apologize for their own spiritual good. And we should be more concerned about their spiritual well-being than whether or not I receive an apology. You know, we may wait our whole lifetime waiting for an apology from the offender. You know, they may not even realize that we feel they owe us one. Just remember, anytime we fail to forgive, we are giving bitterness the chance to grow. So don't allow any time for bitterness to start taking root. You know, that root of bitterness, it's a destructive root. And once it's rooted, it's hard to get rid of. You know, there are people who are bitter about things that have happened 10, 20, 30, even more years ago. Bitterness is extremely dangerous. It ruins their lives, and it'll damn them to hell. Third point I have is what forgiveness is not. First one here is forgiveness is not forgetting. I know it's often said that you must forgive and forget. And you may have felt guilty already because of a situation that you thought you had forgiven, but you may remember it sometime later. You know, it is humanly impossible to blot out unwanted memories at our will. Sometimes the harder we try to forget something, the better it seems that we remember it. But when we have forgiven, we will refuse to continue to rehearse what has happened over and over and over again in our minds. You know, when we want to memorize something, what do? Well, we say it over and over again. So when we want to forget something, just refuse to rehearse it. Then the memories will fade. Although we may never be able to completely forget, if we have truly forgiven, I believe the pain will decrease, and how often we think about it will decrease. There are several reasons we will refuse to rehearse a happening. The first one, like I said, is so that it helps us to forget. The second reason is because rehearsing the incident will only help us nurse our hurts. And it'll make us feel sorry for ourselves. You know, our pain will increase as we relive it time and time again. And thirdly, we must not rehearse it because every time we review the incident, we tend to think that we come to a better understanding of what the person was trying to say or why they may have done something. And we tend to fill in the gaps and add our own logical conclusions, often twisting things in our minds to our advantage. A friend of Clara Barton, she was founder of the American Red Cross, once reminded her of an especially cruel thing that someone had done to her years before. Miss Barton seemed to not remember it. Her friend asked, "Don't you remember?" Clara replied, "No, I distinctly remember forgetting it." I believe Clara knew the damaging effects that rehearsing the incident would have on her. So once we have forgiven the person, we should not keep going back and playing the incident in our mind. You know, I need to make a choice. Will I forgive or will I rehearse? You know, we choose to either relive it or forgive it. Second one I have here is forgiveness is not an emotion. You know, if we wait until we feel like forgiving, it will never happen. You know, wounds hurt and take time to heal. And God designed us to feel emotional pain. And even after we have chosen to forgive, it may take some time for our emotional healing. One example of this is in the case of marital infidelity. You know, you may forgive, but the deep pain that it caused you will take quite some time to heal. You know, the trust that was broken is now gone, and it will take you some time to be built again. But at a time like this, we need to take control of our emotions and not let our emotions control us. I believe if we choose to forgive and ask God to help us with the healing process, He will answer our prayers. Another quote I came across, time will not heal all hurts, but forgiveness is the doorway that puts you well on the way in the healing process. You know, pain slips away with the memory of it when we forgive. Third one I have is forgiveness is not approving of what was done. You know, it was an offense. You know, it was wrong. You know, that's why we need to forgive. And some people struggle with the idea that if they forgive the offender while they're living in deep sin, it will look like they're putting their stamp of approval on the offender's life. And that is not true. You know, we are called to forgive and turn the offender over to God to judge. You know, our forgiving does not make things right between them and God. It's only between them and us and God. Next point I have, fourth point here is, the next few points are a couple questions. Question is, how do I forgive? Well, the first one, I must choose to forgive. This is the hardest and first step. You know, it takes dying to self, killing my urge to get even with, and trying to settle the score. I need to choose to let that up to God. Romans 12:19, he says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Second one is, next Jesus takes us one step farther. I must also choose to love. There are at least 12 verses in the New Testament that tell us to love one another. Matthew 5, verse 44, Jesus commands us to love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. tells us in Romans 12, verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. You know, it is only through God's love in our hearts that we will be able to love our enemies. So whether it's a friend or a foe that hurt us, we must choose to love them anyway. Fifth point, it's another question. How do I know I have forgiven? Ask yourself these three questions. Can I sincerely pray for the person and ask God to bless them? Do I have a critical attitude toward them? Do I secretly rejoice when something unpleasant happens to them? Back to the first one. Can I sincerely pray for that person and ask God to bless them? That means more than just mention their name in a quick prayer. Can we sincerely pray for them and ask God to bless their lives? The second one, do I have a critical attitude toward them? Well, if they can't do anything right when they're around me, then I probably have not forgiven them. And do I secretly rejoice when something unpleasant happens to them? And I think you know what I mean by that. You know, when some hardship comes upon them, can we? Well, that's what they deserve. They finally getting what they deserve. Sixth point, another question. Is there ever a time for rebuke or confrontation? First one I have is yes, sometimes. But be sure that you are the right person. And examine your motive. Ask yourself, you know, do I want to do it to help that person get to heaven? Or is it for my own satisfaction? Do I want to just see them get set straight? You know, sometimes it is needful if sin is the issue. You know, encourage them to confess their sin. Let them know that you love them and that you want them to make it to heaven. Yeah, you may let them know that their sin has hurt you, but be sure to do it lovingly. And if there has been a misunderstanding that needs to be resolved, go talk to them and try to be reconciled. Is there ever a time for confrontation? Well, not always. Sometimes we should not confront. Sometimes it may be best, especially if it's maybe just a petty grievance, just lay it down. You know, decide to forgive and move on in love. You know, trying to determine who was right and who was wrong may just end up fueling another dispute and causing more hurt. You know, we don't need to run to everyone about every little hurt. You know, deal with them in your heart. Forgive and move on. Choose to not let every little offense bog you down. You know, being easily hurt may be a sign of too much pride in my own life, or a lack of love in my heart. 1 Peter 4, verses 8 says, and above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. In the Greek, sins here can be also translated offenses. Remembering our own shortcomings will help us overlook our brother's shortcomings. We all have plenty of our own shortcomings. And if the other person is not aware that you're having a struggle with your attitudes toward them, you know, don't go tell them. Just take care of it between you and God. Because your confession would only make them struggle with something that they have been totally unaware of. Well, in closing, if you're holding any grudges, holding anyone captive in your mind, or wishing ill will on anyone, you have not forgiven them from your heart. And every time that you're praying the Lord's Prayer, you are condemning yourself. You know, we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You know, by the authority of God's word, you and I will not be able to enter heaven if we have not forgiven just one person. Because if we can't forgive others, God will not forgive us. So may God bless you as you put forgiveness to practice in your life. By God's help, you and I can forgive and love one another. With these thoughts, let's kneel for prayer.